Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel as read with the theme this morning, and as the children have just heard, when Jesus makes a promise, Jesus keeps his promise. Therefore, our theme, Jesus promises. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, one of the most heartrending experiences that I've ever had in my life, and I'm sure my wife and all of the soldiers that served with me when we were in Korea, was that we weekly or sometimes twice a week, we would visit a Korean orphanage. And at this orphanage, it was very difficult at first, but then it became very heartwarming. It became very difficult at first because there was always this little girl there, and she was always crying. She was always crying for her mommy. Very heartrending. You see, this little girl's mother, and none of us knew the story, that there must have been a reason why her mother left this little girl as an orphan. Today, Jesus makes a promise. He makes many promises, that's true. But he makes these promises that you will hear of today. First, he promises never to leave you as an orphan. Jesus promises to come to you in and through the Holy Spirit. And you have just seen that with your own eyes here at this font. It was God's work who has done this today. Thanks be to Jesus. Thirdly, Jesus makes a promise. He says, because I live, you also will live. Now, it's true that you and I are here breathing air right now, so we're living. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about spiritual life. The same spiritual life that he has just given to Hartley, and the same spiritual life that he has just given to Briggs. Free gifts. So therefore, let's begin this morning by talking about these two words. Two words that are so misunderstood in our society today. The first one is love. Oh, we think we know what it means, but God has a different definition. And then the second word, obey. And that's a word we really don't like. So when we hear the words love and obey, that may remind us of a wedding. And we just had a wedding here a couple of weeks ago. And these words were used, to love and to obey. You know, many in our society think that love is something that we do. It's a selfish kind of love. If I will love this person, then maybe that person will love me. And it all has to come down to physical gratification. And I'm not going to talk about that. That's for moms and dads to talk to the children about. But that's not the love that God is talking about. That's not the love that he has in mind for you and for me. And then there's also that word, obey. Yes, obey. We don't like that word sometimes. We don't like being told that we must obey our government. That's hard for some of us. God says that we must obey his law or we will die physically and also spiritually. We don't like hearing that. These two words, love and obey, so misunderstood. So let's talk first this morning about love. And surprisingly, the word love and obey, they go hand in hand. The Greek word that Jesus uses today is a very important word. It's a word that we don't have in our English language. But a word, the Greek word is so, so important for us. The word is agape. Agape is a kind of love that describes God's love perfectly. It's a love that is one way. It's not a selfish love at all. It's not a love who wants a tit for a tat. It's a one-way love that is meant for only you and for me. It's a love that is not based on your quality or your value as a person. God doesn't look at that. He does it without merit or favor. He freely gives, in other words. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care if you're the little orphan girl in Korea, or a farmer here in Shum, or a factory worker in Van Wert. It doesn't matter to him. His love is for you. Thirdly, his love is totally unearned and undeserved. Now, I know, moms and dads, that you give your love to your children and it's totally unearned and it's totally undeserved. And that's an example for us, because that's exactly the love that God has for each and every one of you without exception. God doesn't love you, in other words, because you are so lovable. I've heard people say that my wife is so lovable, or my children are so lovable, or that person is so lovable, or I'm so lovable, and that's a lie. But it's not based on us. His love is based on Him and what He has done for you. No, God loves you because He loves you. Jesus has proven this love. He has proven this love for His disciples in our text today. He has proven this love for each of you by going to His cross. By going to His cross for you, Jesus proved His love. And that's why in this society, the cross is hated. Because they can't face the fact that Jesus has died for them. They think they must do something, or that it can't be possible for God to die for someone else. But that's exactly what Jesus did. A one-way love, not based on who you are or what you aren't, but totally based on an unearned and undeserved merit. Totally by grace. God loves you by His grace, and therefore He died. He physically died for each and every one of you. So how does this love apply to us? And how are we to love? Your agape is for Jesus. And it must always be for Jesus first. Your desire that you have for someone, be it your husband or your wife or your children or your parents or your grandparents or whoever it may be, that love must have a foundation. And as a Christian, our foundational love is God Himself. My friends, we can only love if we learn to be obedient. And God tells us today, most clearly, that you can only love, and you can only love Me if you obey what I command. What does that mean, to obey what He commands? What did Jesus command us? He commanded us to go into the world and to preach the gospel and to baptize. That's the command to the church. Today we fulfill His commandment. And therefore, since we fulfill His commandments today, we are showing love, not only to God, but to each other. Therefore, in the means of grace, we love Jesus. When we read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest His word, we are showing our love for Jesus. When we proclaim the good news that Jesus has gone to the cross and died and rose on the third day, and that He has done this freely because of His love, and when we preach this faithfully, we are loving Jesus. My friends, we can only love if we obey. You cannot separate the two. Yet people try to separate the two. And when we separate love and obey, then what are we left with? We are left not in obedience, and we are left not loving God. Our love becomes a selfish love. It becomes a love based on what we do and what can be done for us. And that's not the love of God. Jesus continues this morning by giving us another promise. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And yes, again, we have seen this morning. The Spirit of truth has been given. The Spirit of truth has been freely given to Hartley and to Briggs, a free gift. A free gift that they have received, and we pray that they will retain. For he, Jesus Himself, has planted the seed of faith into them, and He's done the same for each and every one of you, wherever you may have been baptized. You see, Jesus keeps His promises. And that faith that He has given, He promises that it will grow and increase as they and as you and as I hear the Word. And only through the hearing of the Word can our faith grow. All you have to do is look around, not only here in Schoon, but in Wilshire or Van Wert or wherever you may be from, and you see farmers putting the seed in the ground. And they have faith that that seed will grow. But they know that that seed can only grow if it has nutrients from the soil and that if it has water. Your faith can only grow if it's nourished. And that nourishment is found in this book. It isn't found on the self-help aisles of a Christian bookstore. It isn't found by what you do or what you think you're doing for God. Only found in this book. This is where you find your pure spiritual milk and water. We have seen that this morning. Water that has washed away not only Hartley and Briggs' sin, but your sin and my sin. Thus, the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit and His work will always point us, as the children have heard, will always point us, always focus us, always draw us to this Word, even to Jesus Christ Himself. I hear so many people talking about the Holy Spirit today, and that Holy Spirit is pointing you towards someone else or something else in the church. That is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always direct your attention. Your eyes will always focus on Jesus. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus, the Holy Spirit will increase that love, and He will increase the willingness of you to obey the Word of God. That's the work of the Spirit. And when He's at work, you are then a faithful, loving, obedient Christian. Thanks be to God. You see, the unbelieving world cannot accept this. They cannot accept the Holy Spirit. No, they just can't accept Jesus as their Savior. They think it's just too easy. Yet Jesus is telling us today that those who reject Him, those who resist the Holy Spirit, they don't know how to love, and they are disobedient. And the evidence is clear. Those who reject Jesus remain in spiritual darkness. Those who reject Jesus remain spiritually blind. They cannot understand this book because they cannot read this book because they do not have eyes of faith. No, they are like a blind man in the darkness of a cave, groping about trying to find the light. He can't find it by himself. A blind man can't find anything in a dark cave by himself. He must have someone to help him. You and I were once this blind man groping in the darkness, trying to find the light. But then the Holy Spirit found us. Baptism. And He gave us these spiritual eyes to see the light. And when we see the light, we find our way. Actually, we are led by the Holy Spirit out of spiritual darkness. We are given eyes of faith. are seeking and are seeking and are seeking is finally over. But that's the problem with the world today. They look and they look and they look, but they will never find because they don't know where to look at unless you tell them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Drew and Cassie, Sean and Stephanie, today your children live. They live because Jesus has come to them. He has come to them here at this font, and He has cleansed them of all their sin. And He has given to them freely newness of life. This is God's work. Don't let anyone tell you that this is something that they have done. No, Jesus has done this for them. And because Jesus has done this for them, He now lives in them. He has saved them from eternal death. Hartley and Briggs, once again, has been given a free gift, eternal life. Thanks be to Jesus. So therefore, as we now close, we close on the promises of Jesus. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit. He did. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to teach us all things and to remind us all that He has promised. And it was even written down for us. Jesus kept His promise. Jesus promised never to leave you or me as an orphan. In and through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is not only with you, but He lives in you. And because He lives in you, you and I too will live. Jesus promised to strengthen your faith. He does this through the means of grace, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. Jesus promised, my friends, Jesus promised to love you. And He has proven His love for you as He bled, as He died, as He rose on the third day. And as we celebrate this week, He then ascended into heaven. But He has not left us as orphans. No, He has sent His Spirit. For He now stands at the right hand of the Father. And there He intercedes for you and for me. And therefore, since Jesus does this great work, I can announce to you that because of Jesus, all your sins are forgiven. Forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to Jesus. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.